Paul endured. He endured the worst because he was more devoted to the spiritual than the physical and to the future than the present. And lastly, he tells us another secret to endurance. You will endure when you value eternal realities over temporal. When eternity and what is eternal is more important to you than time and what is temporal. Verse 18. This is a very important statement. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says, we endure. We persevere joyously, contentedly, hopefully, patiently, in the midst of all our pain. And we endure because we value what is eternal over what is temporal. That first little phrase in verse 18, very crucial. While we look. That's an excellent translation. While we look. Listen now. The only way you can endure, the only way you can put the spiritual over the physical and the future over the present is while you look. That's the key idea. This has a conditional force. As long as you look, as long as your gaze is fixed in the right place, such endurance, such vision of the spiritual and the future is not automatic. It demands a constant look at what? Not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. If you're going to be able to focus on what is spiritual and not physical, what is future and not present, you're going to have to look at what is invisible and not visible. He says, we don't look at the things which are seen, which he says are temporal. That's a word associated with the word time, that belong to time. What does he mean? Anything that belongs to time. What does that mean? Anything that begins and ends with time. Anything. Anything that perishes. And we know what's going to perish, the whole universe, right? And with it, everything that's in it, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Anything that is not eternal, that's what he means. You say, well, what's eternal? God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the souls of men. That's the only issues to him. The one other group of beings that are eternal are angels. Holy angels are fixed in their glory, and demons are fixed in their wickedness forever. Paul's concern is for God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the souls of men that are eternal. All the objects, possessions, all the ideas, systems, standards, ambitions, achievements that are part of the passing world order didn't matter a bit to him. If he never had a fortune, if he never had a bank account, if he never had a house, an estate, if he never started an organization or belonged to one, if he never had a respected career, a place of prominence, fame, celebrity, earthly accomplishment, it didn't matter to him. Frankly, to the world, he was a colossal failure. And I'm sure somebody perhaps said, or many people may have said, you know, he might have been something in his life if he'd had turned another direction or stayed where he was. After all, he was highly educated in Hellenist culture as well as Jewish culture. He was a Pharisee who knew the law inside out and backwards, extremely religious, prominent among the Pharisees because he was a persecutor of Christians, a highly educated man, a man with a good mind, a man who could have made a humanitarian contribution or a philanthropic contribution to culture and society. He might have had a place in the world, a moment in the sun. He might have made a difference somewhere in somebody's life, or might have been a point at which society made a turn somewhere. Could have been a fulcrum on which some significant turning occurred. Poor guy. Colossal failure. Wasted life. Bounces from jail to jail to jail to jail. Hostility everywhere he goes. Leaves a trail of devastation all over the place. Has everybody, religious and irreligious, mad at him. He's going to end up with his head on a block, getting his head chopped off. Sad. Man had some talent. Could have achieved something. That would have been a worldly evaluation of the man, probably still is. Maybe he could have had a career, made some money, been famous, gained some prestige, had some possessions, entered into political power. Didn't matter. He didn't look at things that are seen. They didn't interest him. What interested him, what consumed him, what he lived for, was the things he couldn't see. He was more concerned with the invisible world than the visible world. Boy, that is an essential reality in terms of being an enduring Christian. Because what he couldn't see was what was eternal. God. And he lived for God and worshiping and adoring and glorifying and honoring God. And his heart just poured out benedictions and doxologies toward God. You see them periodically through his letters and times of passionate prayer toward God. And he loved Christ, and his focus in life was to become like Jesus Christ. Be followers of me as I am of Christ. And Christ was the goal of his life. And he pressed toward the goal of being like Christ. Christ was everything. For him to live was Christ and to die was gain. And there was a Holy Spirit. He lived for the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit in his life. And he lived for the souls of men. He was so zealous for the lost Jews that he could have wished himself accursed if they could be saved. If somehow he could forfeit his salvation to gain theirs, he could almost wish to do that. And he had a passionate desire for the souls of Gentiles as well. And he put his life on the block, as you know, to reach the Gentiles with the gospel to which he had been called. He was concerned about the souls of believers and Christians. And day in and day out, day after day, night and day, prayed for their sanctification. He lived in the invisible world. He was concerned with the invisible realm. He looked beyond the temporal to the eternal. That's how you endure.